This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. PCGS is the standard in the rare coin grading industry. To learn more, visit pcgs.com. Howard Berlin is the new Mistourist, collector, veteran columnist, and author of the definitive guide to museums and exhibitions dealing with coins, metals, and paper money. In this episode of the Coin Week podcast, I discuss the great collections on display as Howard prepares me for the road ahead. Howard, thanks for joining me on the Coin Week podcast.
Fine. My pleasure to be with you.
Howard, you've made a career writing about various topics, including numismatic topics. But what most collectors know you for is your series of articles that form the basis of your book, The Numistourist, which is a travel guide of places in the United States and abroad that have numismatic collections on display. What drew you to combine numismatics and travel?
Well, I have really three interests, well, among several others, but the three that are associated with this book are that I like to write. I write books and articles since the early 70s. I like to travel, and I have in one of my interests numismatics, and when I write a book, I try to write on a topic that has not been written on before. That way I don't have to compete with a number of other publications in the same topic. It's like when I was teaching in college electrical engineering, a publisher would want me to write a book on a particular topic, and I say, well, there's already, 50 books on this topic, and even at your publishing house, you have 10. Why would you want another book? But I try to write things where there's really no competition, at least for the time being. The original impetus for this particular book started from a column, bi-monthly column that I wrote for one of the sister publications of Coin World. And after a while, I collected a number of places that I had been to and was going to write about, and I figured, why not compile these all in a book? And the late Dick Doty of the Smithsonian thought that that was a real good idea. So that's where the impetus and the origin of this particular book came from.
What do you think people can learn about a country by seeing a numismatic exhibit at a national collection?
I think they can learn quite a bit about the history of the country, how its monetary policy has developed over the course of the country's growth. They can learn about the economic history of the country, and also a lot of the personages, especially in the United States, pictures of people that appear on the coins and the banknotes. And it's pretty much the same way with other countries, although Greece, in its very early stages, used to have various motifs of birds, goddesses, buildings, etc. So in addition to having their particular rulers on the other side of the coin, so they can learn quite a bit about each country by looking at the coinage over a wide time span.
You know, about a month or a month and a half ago, I met up with Jeff Garrett and Dr. Ellen Feingold, the curator of the National Numismatic Collection, to do a video shoot. You can check out this video on our YouTube channel. One of the things I was really quite interested in my own personal reaction, was that when we pulled out a drawer housing three $1,804, that, you know, very valuable and rare coins, I found it to be a different experience when you're looking at something like that at a museum. You're looking at coins like these without the context of value. And so it's been my experience that when you look at coins at museums, that you see them differently than you would if they were coins in your own collection. Maybe it's a pride of ownership thing. Do you agree with what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you and I have an advantage when we're visiting museums that very few people, other people have, at least the visitors, in that we're able to, in many cases, get behind the scenes, like with Ellen Feingold and the past people that I knew at the Smithsonian. I was given the privilege of going into the vault, pulling out drawers, taking a look at coins that very few people would ever get to see or even hold in their hands. The same is the true overseas in Germany and England and even in Israel, where I could hold some of the coins that are in the vault, so to speak, that really never get to see the light of day, or at least only on special occasions. Now, obviously, my collection, or even when I had my collection, some of these things could never compare to it. But in my own case, my collection, which is no longer, I've disposed of it through several dealers, I'm proud to say, was more complete than almost any museum. Of course, my collection was a very specific area, and it wasn't the United States. It was a Palestine mandate, coins and banknotes. But nonetheless, I'm always impressed about how the various museums arrange or curate their exhibitions, the technique they use, mirrors, computers, stands, colors, and the type of material, how they present their text material. Because I used to do a lot of exhibiting, competitive exhibiting. So some of that is very interesting to me. I guess I'm a frustrated curator at heart. I like to arrange exhibits in my head nowadays, but it's very interesting to look at things behind the scene, but also I'm very interested in how the actual exhibits that the visitors get to see.
One of our writers, ancient coin writer Mike Markowitz, wrote a piece a few years ago titled "Why Museums Hate Ancient Coins." Two of the reasons that he gave in his piece are security concerns as it comes to these tiny coins, and the second thing is that they're very difficult to exhibit. Do you agree with the sentiment that museums would rather not have to deal with coins, or do you find that recent trends in curation have created new and better opportunities to display them in ways that excite people?
Well, the first thing about exhibiting coins is that in most cases, people only see one side of the coin. Some museums have done a very excellent job of using mirrors to reflect the other side of the coin, such as the reverse of the coin, where the obverse is up, lying, at, you know, in the being visible. Some museums have also done a very interesting technique of putting the coin in a rotating type holder so that you can spin the coin or spin the holder around and see the obverse and the reverse of the coin. Some museums also are fortunate enough to have two of the same coins so they can display both the obverse and the reverse on a flat surface. Not everybody's able to do that, so especially with the rare pieces, specimens. Now, with banknotes, that's always been problematic because of lighting. There are some museums, one in particular I remember in Helsinki from the Central Bank, it's almost dark because they don't want the ultraviolet light to affect the color of the banknotes over a period of time. Of course, this has always been a problem with the A&A Museum, at least I've been told by the curators there that they're very careful about the lighting, the type of lighting. Of course, now the type of lighting is improved so that it doesn't affect the manuscripts and the banknotes over a period of time. But security is generally a problem. There are museums that have very fine coin collections but don't exhibit them. And security generally is the main reason they give for not doing that. They are available to qualified researchers to look at and maybe photograph, et cetera. But in general, they just don't want to have to deal with the cost of the security. Only the very well-endowed museum can afford to properly display their exhibits.
Do you have any favorite museums or places that a collector should consider as a definite go-to?
Of course, here in the United States, some of the Federal Reserve banks, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, for example, Denver, and San Francisco, have numismatic displays of their banknotes. Of course, the A&A is in Colorado is another well-known museum. Overseas, if you're fortunate enough to do any traveling, especially the bigger cities like London, the British Museum, up on the third floor in room 67, if I remember right, it used to be by HSBC Bank, but now it's by Citibank that endowed the exhibit, where it's basically a history of money. Very, very well done exhibition. And it all depends on what your interests lie. The Bank of China, I understand, has a good, very nice exhibit. The Bank of Tokyo has a very good exhibit. Some museums don't have a room or a set of galleries set aside for the coins by themselves, but the coins themselves are integrated throughout the exhibition of the entire museum. So you get an idea of how coins fit in with a particular time period with the rest of the history of that period in a museum. Israel, naturally, in their Israel Museum in outside of Jerusalem, has a very excellent exhibition of ancient coins on up to the present. The Bank of Israel has a very nice exhibit of coins from the early eras of coinage on up to the present. There's just so many museums that are excellent in how they present their exhibitions.
Are there any museums or exhibits that you haven't had a chance to see, but that you definitely want to? And do you think that there's enough material out there to do a follow-up to your Numis Tourist?
I'm always finding out new museums. I'll be in Germany again. I go to Germany several times, about 3-4 times a year. In March, I'll be in the northern part of Germany near Hamburg and Rostock and Schwerin. There are several museums in the northeastern part of Germany that have some state museums that have exhibitions I haven't seen yet. I will be in February in Cyprus, in Nicosia. There's a bank museum that has exhibition that I haven't been to. There's one or two in Istanbul I'll be in after I leave Cyprus that I haven't seen, even though I've been to Istanbul before. Most of the ones that I haven't really been to are pretty much centered in Southeast Asia. Although I've been to Tokyo and Hong Kong, Southeast Asia for me is quite a bit of a long-haul flight, and I'm now over 70 years old, and I'm just not fit for traveling long distances without a break, so that's always been a hard area for me to get to, and even though that's there's a number of places that Howard Daniel has told me about in Southeast Asia that have collections on display. I have some of them in my book as far as listing them, but personally, even though I've been to over 60 countries, I've never seen many of the ones in Southeast Asia. Most of the ones I've been to are in Europe, in the Middle East, and in the United States. And there's some in the Caribbean, Central America, and quite a few in South America that I haven't been to also.
I've always heard that the Hermitage in St. Petersburg has an amazing numismatic collection. Have you ever checked that out?
I was in the Hermitage, I would have to say, back in 1968. All the people that I knew or I know that have contact with the Hermitage and even several other museums in Moscow and still called Leningrad, but St. Petersburg, including the Hermitage, they don't like to display the collection. I don't know whether it's an old Soviet thing they have. They're very cautious about some stuff. And I've written to them, even in Russian, writing to them in Russian, although I haven't spoken Russian in over 50 years. They wrote back and say, our collection is not on display. So I can only say that it's rumored that they have a fantastic collection, but I've never seen it or even seen pictures of it.
Yeah, it's amazing, because if you go to the Kremlin, they have platinum and gold ingots on display at the Diamond Fund Museum, which is such an extraordinary amount of them, and they make no bones about showing this truly impressive and valuable collection. But at the Hermitage, they don't want to show off their coins.
I remember that. That's very impressive that you see that when you go into the Kremlin and the many museums and churches that are inside the wall.
It's a very beautiful place. If you've never been there or never been to Europe, you really have no idea how luxurious the architecture is. As a humorous aside, I spent about a whole week in Vienna doing film shoots for Coin Week, and I came back and I take my family to Monticello that weekend. And I've seen it a lot because I went to the University of Virginia and my wife went there, and we have a house not too far away from it. But in the context of having just seen the seat of the Habsburg dynasty and going from that to seeing the rinky-dink Monticello, it was almost depressing in its scale and lack of opulence and how it was an amateur interpretation of the magnificence of European architecture.
Yeah, the Kunsthistorisches Museum in Vienna is quite a interesting building. It's like one of the museums that has a like four or five galleries on one floor, one section of the second floor that designated for the numismatic collection of banknotes, coins, orders, and medals. And but then a lot of people may not even know it's there because it's unlike, say, the Numismatic Museum of Athens, which is a museum strictly for numismatics. You may not know, like I say, that there's coins there. People will just walk by the entrance to that gallery and not even pay any attention to it, which I find it really a shame.
Yeah, the room itself of that museum exhibit is quite striking, too. It has this long corridor with glass ceilings, which let the light in from outside, and they have rows and rows of coins and medals in that giant transmuted gold disc. It's visually one of the most compelling exhibits that I've ever seen.
Yes, it is quite impressive. I have a picture of the gallery of the Kunsthistorisches Museum on the back cover of my book, in the upper left-hand corner. One of the two pictures on the back cover is of that gallery. And it's very impressive, especially that very large gold piece on display.
So I'm going to be heading over to Berlin in February for the World's Money Fair, and I'm going to spend about 3 or 4 days in the city checking out a number of numismatic exhibits. Which museums would you recommend that I put on the top of my list?
Okay, well, fortunately, the three museums that I would go to are pretty much in the same area. Two of them are on Museum Island, that is the Bode Museum. And the second one is the Altes Museum, A-L-T-E-S, meaning the old museum, because there is a new museum, and it's right in the same square as the Berlin Cathedral. The other museum, which is the I abbreviated DHM, which in English stands for the German Historical Museum. It's right on the Anderlinden Boulevard, at the opposite end of the boulevard from the Brandenburg Gate. And that is a museum where the coins are integrated in the displays throughout the museum with other historical artifacts. So those three I would go. Of course, if you're interested into beer also, drinking beer, there's lots of microbreweries. There's several brewery tours that you can go to. But the museums will take a little while. It's not something you go through in a half an hour, so those will take a while. There's other museums, there's art museums in Berlin. I go to Berlin about 4 or so times a year. Been working on another book about Berlin, not having anything to do with coins, but so I go there to get more research and take more photographs. Have about maybe 4,000. Photographs, some of which are the same, but that way I can choose which ones I want. But flying into Berlin, I like it. I speak German, so that getting around is not a problem, although English is widely spoken, as well as even Russian in many cases now. But those three museums, should be at the top of your list.
Well, I appreciate those tips, Howard, and I'll take you up on those museum and beer recommendations. They're not necessarily in that order. I love going to Germany. There's so much history and energy, and Berlin is a very special city. So thank you, Howard, for joining me on the Coin Week podcast.